Good morning. Greet you on Jesus' name this morning. It's good to be gathered again here to worship our Redeemer this morning. I was blessed by being here and I was in the devotions. I appreciate Nolan's thoughts on the tongue and the words. I like how the Sunday school lesson flowed with that, and I feel the message is touched on as well as we think of our words and our tongue. And the songs we sang this morning, Kirby led that one song, The Music of Heaven. And it's an old familiar and we sing many times. But such a beautiful, I'm not sure what, the play of words or the way it's wrote, it's so inspirational. And as God's people are singing that and praising God, our hearts need to be drawn to that. And then we sang, Larry made a comment of the last song we sang on Transformed. If you paid attention to the words, it seemed pretty negative in the in the verses there. And I'm not a person who really cares for a lot of flats, and that song has a lot of flats. It just tends to drag. And I guess that's where my thought was going with as far as the message this morning. Thinking of the Christian life, there's at times anymore in life I feel like I'm not as cheerful as I should be. I don't know how you find it. But life seems to drag us down, or we allow life to drag us down. I shouldn't say we. I tend to let some aspects of life drag me down and tend to lose our focus, or my focus, on praising God. So this morning we like to think of praising the Lord. Like I said, I feel I have need of it, for we have more praise in my life in praising our Redeemer for what he's done. During the Sunday school class, or someone made, some of our expressions, our everyday expressions, the world is reading them without us uttering any words. And what is the expression coming from my life? Is it one that praises God? When we praise our Lord, it's coming from an expression of a satisfied heart. Is my heart satisfied before God? Or are my expectations something different? Also, praise is expression of admiration. We are regarding something else high in high esteem. We also sing prayers of thanksgiving, appreciation. So this morning's message, I would like to have our minds and hearts turned into praising the Lord. Psalmist had much to say. Well, Scripture at large has a lot to say on thanking and praising God. Scripture records of thanking him as a creator. At his creation, he blessed it. He also sustained it. To this day, 7,000 years later, he's still sustaining his creation. He's worthy of our praise. We also praise him for who he is. As he came to this earth, lived with humanity, his creation, and was rejected, crucified, and rose again. Our hearts need to be overflowing with praise as we think of his love, his justice, how he could have destroyed his creation, his kindness, his patience, his faithfulness, and his forgiveness. Revelations 4, verse 11, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. So this morning you and I are here to turn praise back to our Lord. Each of us, every day, we need to make this willing commitment to turn our hearts to him. Those should be some of our first awakening thoughts about our God. Our hearts need to be ever in tune with him. Throughout David's life, there in the Psalms, he poured out a heart of praise. And we know David's life was many difficult situations. There were circumstances that were completely out of his control. His environment was harsh. But so often he turned back and praised God for sparing him, for saving him, for walking with him, not abandoning him. And I believe this was all because in those awakening hours, when David was ready to face a death, his heart was connected with God. He knew that God was going to hear his cry. He valued that relationship. He lived a life with purpose. He realized that the evil around him was subject to the righteousness of God, and that evil was not going to prevail forever. How often in life does it seem like in our lives that the scale is tending to hang heavy on the bottom side of the scale? Life seems a little dark. And we as humans, some of us, our nature is more hung up on that. We tend to see the negative sooner. But let's not forget at those moments to remember, turn our mind to God. How blessed we are. Let's not think of how unfortunate the circumstances are around us and how unfair. Because when we do that, we're looking at ourselves. Isaiah 26 verse 3, I believe, has the medicine or the cure for this very thought. It says, "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusteth in me." Those are the words of our Lord. As we put our confidence and trust in him, our hearts will sing up in praise. I'd like to look at four different aspects of praise this morning. First one is our attitude. Second one is our commitment. Third is what robs us of our praise. And the fourth thing is restoring our praise. This morning, what is your attitude, or what is my attitude of praise? An attitude is a mental position or feeling with regards to a fact. We all know the old saying, attitude is everything. If you have a right attitude, a lot can be accomplished. Psalms 23, verse 7, For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. We see people with a purpose in many different areas of life. There's a go-ahead, Well, we all enjoy being around that type of person. Someone with a positive attitude, they inspire, they encourage, they promote action. This morning, how are you? How are we as parents in our homes, dads and moms, with our attitude of praise? Do we see the good of each day? Do we see the good in the experiences that come in our path? Because our attitudes will be expressed in word and our actions. So as we go to work and as we come home, what do we bring home with us? Do we bring the frustrations to the supper table? And as we have our simple prayers, the prayers of repetition. So many of them have praying and thanking God for the everyday things. We're praying with our children, but are we truly paying attention to what we're saying? Supper conversations, do they reflect on our thanksgiving that we prayed for just a few minutes prior to the meal? Or do we tend just to look at it as a ritual? We just go through this motion. We prayed our prayers from little on up. I trust it's not. I trust we meditate on those words we're saying as we're praying, putting them into heart and practice. Because this is where these attitudes of life begin around our family tables when our children are young and still innocent? What kind of platform am I as a dad placing for them to stand on? Not only to stand on when they're little, but to build off of as they grow up. Is it going to be that solid platform of praising God for the experiences of life? Or is it a little spongy where a lot of dad's attitudes bleed through? The challenge I have. What's my attitude of praise? It takes a daily commitment. Psalm 61, verse 8. So will I sing praise unto thy name forever, that I may daily perform my vows. Again, here we see a commitment. David here was saying, I will. He had that commitment to bring glory to God, not seek it for himself. His vows he made, he was going to daily do that. This ties with our attitudes of each day. When we ask God to go with us, in those waking hours, to guide and direct our words, like the devotional leader said, to guide and direct our words, our thoughts. We don't know what 2 o'clock this afternoon will hold. We don't know what 10 o'clock Monday morning is going to hold. But there's very well possible it's going to have pressure and frustration. What will my response be? Do I have that commitment to remain faithful and true to God at that moment? David seen the importance of that, to daily perform. Praise needs to be a continual part of our life. Psalms 34, verse 1 through 3. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. Here we see that the commitment, or the praise of the Lord, to daily commit our ways to him, it's contagious. I see in verse 2, the humble shall hear thereof. And I like to think of that as our children, our little ones, the innocent ones. The next generation, are they grasping this command that God gave us? Is my praise spontaneous? Is it done freely? Spontaneous is acting or taking place without external force. There's times we have to encourage our children to sing with the chores they have to do. You know, there's a lot of things that are not too enjoyable as a child. When it comes time to do certain chores, they tend to become a little long-faced. And, well, why don't you sing? And with a little external pressure, sometimes you can encourage that. But is my life one of just spontaneous? It's almost instinctive. It's automatic. Or is it something that requires a command? Oh, I got to do it because I told God I was going to. And we think of our prayers we made. God is looking for cheerful willingness and praising him for what he's done. Things that rob us of our praise. This morning, we have one enemy that wants to take our focus off of our Lord. And that's the devil himself. He wants to rob us of this practice or this command to bring praise to God. And I believe he can do it 2 different ways. Psalms 59, verse 2 reads, "But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear." We know that direct sin and rebellion against the word of God separates us from God. And no matter how hard we try in our own strength, God will not hear it. So sin separates us from God. When there's sin in our lives, we cannot praise, for he is holy and righteous. Psalms 24, verse 3 and 4. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? Or who shall stand in his holy place? He that hath a clean hands and pure heart. So sin blocks us of our praise. This morning, the devil would like you to keep a hold of that little thing of self that separates you from God. Also in the second area, I believe, the devil would like just to distort our praise. He wants to tell us that we can have to separate it. And this is a snare. He trips many people up with this. He tells us that we can serve self and God. We can enjoy the things that the Bible speaks clearly that we need to forbid. Selfishness robs us of this praise. Ananias and Sapphira, they were selfish people. They had that heart. They wanted to have the praise of man. The rich man and Lazarus in Luke 16, 23 to 25. A man who had great wealth, and he had this old beggar. I take he might have thought he was feeding him by letting the crumbs fall off the table. But he fared sumptuously every day. He was selfish. And selfishness is destructive. It never builds. And we know where the rich man opened his eyes at. Because he thought he could hoard the things of himself. To himself, the Bible said he lifted his eyes up in hell. But the devil is using that very tool to distract us of our praise, thinking we can hoard some to ourselves. Jesus said, set your affections on things above, not on this world. But we know the devil reverses everything that our Lord put in place. He wants us to love ourselves, to protect our life, and then give the rest to God. I'm sure many of you remember the message Titus Hofer preached here quite a few years ago. Jesus will never be next. We can't change that. Selfishness is a sin against God. So this, when we are become selfish, we rob our praise to our Lord. How can we restore our praise? There's none of us here who hasn't had to return or had to come back to ask for forgiveness, to ask God for help, to think on the things that are recorded in Philippians 4, verse 8. When we become aware of this lack, our lack of praising, God has made a way back. Isaiah 59, verse 1. Behold, the hand of the Lord, behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened, that it cannot save, neither is ear heavy, that it cannot hear. So as we turn our minds and take our thoughts back to God, God is there to listen, to take us back, to accept us, but we have to confess. We have to come to his standards. In 1 John 1, verse 9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. As we take that initial step, the rest will take place. We all know what it's like, those of us who are Christians here, to have confessed our sins. We feel that peace and joy that floods our hearts. And praise has become an expression. We can't help but glorify God. So often in life, I let these things tend to rob me of my praise. And I want to be able to face this week with a song on my lips. And I know it takes part of the commitment. There's times, like I said, when life is heavy, And we think we have been praying. There's no known sin in my life. But the burden that's heavy on the heart robs it of our song. But we didn't at that moment need to thank God for his listening ear. Because the Bible says he cares for us. He wants to hear our prayers. He knows our pain. He knows our cry. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. And Jesus said, I'll give you rest. And when you have that peace and that rest, again, a result of that is praise. I often thought of Paul and Silas in Acts chapter 16, verse 22. I've never experienced any kind of beating like this. A very familiar account of how they were beat. They were thrown into the stocks. I don't know what the prison environment was like back in those days, but I'm sure it's nothing like it is today, where there's, I believe, relatively good comfort. But it says here where they were. Verse 22, we'll just read these few verses. And the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrate rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely, who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast into the stocks. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises to God, and the prisoners heard them. It don't sound like a too gentle environment being thrust into the stocks. But they were living above. They were. The conditions of them praising God were not too favorable. But we see that their outlook, their attitude of life, their focus wasn't the present condition. But it was God, what he had done for them. The same God in those days is the same God today. There's nothing that should separate us from that love, our praise to him. Are we praising him for all that he has done? Psalms 103. It's a song of praise that I like to read the entire psalm. There's only 22 verses. Is this my attitude? Is this your attitude this past year so far? It takes a purpose to make it our attitude, our outlook, the remainder of this year. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth my life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. He made known his ways unto Moses, his acts to the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercies toward them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. For he knoweth our frame, and he remembereth that we are dust. As for man, his days are like the grass, as the flower of the field, so he flourisheth. For the wind passes over it, and it is gone, and the place thereof shall know it no more. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him, and his righteousness unto the children's children, to such as keep his covenant, and to those that remember his commandments to do them. The Lord hath prepared his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom ruleth over all. Bless the Lord, ye his angels, that excel in strength, that do his commandments, hearkening unto the voice of his word. Bless ye the Lord, all ye his hosts, ye ministers of his, to do his pleasure. Bless the Lord, all his works in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. There's many aspects in this, many areas of life where these few verses cover. We're reminded of who we were, of our sinful conditions, and how he redeemed us. Verse 1, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. The entirety, my whole being, my whole personality. Is it bringing praise to God? Am I remembering, verse 2, all his benefits? There's many things here in America we have far and beyond the nations around us. Things we take for granted. We dare not forget them. They're a gift. They're a blessing. We need to praise God for it and use them for his glory. Who forgiveth all mine iniquities. There ain't no sin out there that God can't cover. He says all of them. And as we rub shoulders with the world around us, there's those of we come to meet. They feel they can't attain to or approach God because of a sin in their life. We've got to remember to speak that God is able to forgive all. And he's a great healer. So this week, as you go throughout this week and the remainder of this year, let's remember all the blessing that God has blessed us with. And let our hearts be spring out in praise and thank God for what he has done. We don't need to. These everyday expressions speak, like we heard earlier in the Sunday school, they speak volumes to the world around us. It's not only going and singing at Sarah Todd this afternoon that where we turn our hearts in praise, but in our everyday walk, it might be another employee might hear your song. It might be touched by it. Or it might be the place you're working at. They wonder why you're singing. So let's praise the Lord. Let's kneel for prayer.